God is good. Church, God is amazing. God is better than good. He is great. And He is worthy to be praised. Amen? Did you come to have church or be the church? Were you the church before you got to church? I sure hope so. Amen. Amen. If you weren't here earlier when we introduced 8 new members of First Open Bible, and Miss Sherry, is she in here now? If you didn't get your certificate, please come see her. Sorry, I should have done that at the end and said, get your certificate before you sit down. But we're very thankful that you're a part of this body. And I'm ready to preach this morning. Amen. You ready to receive the word? Amen. Amen. So my name's Pastor Harris. If you weren't here earlier, I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. And it's been almost 3 years now that I've been the lead that the Board of Elders asked from my position as youth pastor to consider being the lead pastor. And I said, what? I didn't take any schooling, any thoughts in my mind to ever be a lead pastor. Not my undergrad, not even after that, not even getting my master's. I never thought of that. But guess what? One thing I told God, and I pray that you did the same. God, whatever you want with my life, I will do it. Send me, God, whatever you want. Use me as your vessel. Amen? That's a dangerous prayer, church. It's a dangerous prayer, but it's one of the best prayers you will ever pray. And here is the thing. After you pray that, you better be obedient. Amen? Amen. Well, this week was awesome. I had a birthday on Tuesday, and I, besides spending it with my family, which would have been fantastic, and I've done so many of those, I got to spend it with some new family. I traveled Tuesday morning. I left at like 5 a.m., came back Thursday night at 11:15 p.m., and I was gone in Memphis, Tennessee at a PCCNA conference. What is that? That's Pentecostal Charismatic Churches of North America. And this is an honor. I got picked from our president of Open Bible, all of Open Bible, as the young leader to represent all of Open Bible to go to this conference. And there are denominational leaders, depending on what denomination, Pentecostal, Charismatic, they call them bishops, or they call them CEOs, or they call them presidents, or they call them head directors, or whatever they called them. There were so many, 30 to 40 different ones that all represent basically anybody from Canada to Mexico and in America, Pentecostal and Charismatic movements, or churches, or denominations, or fellowships. They were there, and there were 20 young leaders handpicked from their denominations that got to go as the young cohorts of PCCNA. We're called the Next Gen Leaders, and it was an absolute honor to be a part of something so amazing. On my birthday Tuesday, we were in Memphis, Tennessee, and the Church of God in Christ, their world headquarters, they are the largest charismatic Pentecostal church in the world. And we were at their world headquarters on Tuesday, and we had a 25th year celebration. And this is what I love, because this is my heart. I'm thankful to be raised in, I was raised in Oregon with a family that had zero prejudice in their heart. No racial prejudice, no social prejudice, none of that. I was raised in a church that had one-third Mexicans in my high school. And it was great because they taught me whenever they were talking about the gringo in the room, I knew when they were making fun of me. Those are good friends. And they say, "Cállate, por favor." Be quiet. I can hear you. Me comprende. And they're like, uh-oh. Lo siento. Means I'm sorry. And but I grew up around a lot of different people. There were people that were from, see, living by the coast, you have people that were Samoans, you had Hawaiians, Japanese, there's just so many. And this is my heart, and I didn't even know exactly what we were celebrating, but the 25th year celebration of PCCNA happened Tuesday night, and this was the celebration. They called it the Memphis Miracle. So in the outpouring of the Azusa Street Revival, and before that, there was a man named Charles Parnum, And he was a white man, and he was teaching in Kansas about the Spirit of God, and he was praying for people, and they were getting baptized just like on the day of Pentecost in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And a black man came named William J. Seymour, and he at that time wasn't allowed in the sanctuary with white people because there was segregation. But he loved him, and he followed the rules. So he opened the doors and let him sit on a bench and listen. And that man took that revival and that fire, and he took it to California, where there's an Azusa Street revival that a lot of us know. And if you are Foursquare, if you're Open Bible, or you are Assemblies of God, we're all cousins, and we're all birthed out of the same movement in the early 1900s, the Azusa Street revival. And I'm so thankful to be a part of that heritage. But what happened is that at that time, blacks and whites and every other color were coming together, and they were worshiping the King, and there was no segregation in the church. It was amazing, until it wasn't. In the 1940s, there was a version of PCCNA that was formed, but it was only for white people. They didn't include them because segregation has taken over even in the church. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to worship just with white people because I'm white in heaven. That don't even make any sense. We sang a song about all generations. We sang a song about all nations worshiping God. That can happen right now because my Jesus said this. He said that heaven can be on earth. So I'm going to do it now. Amen. But there was segregation in the 40s, and they started, and all the way until 1994, even with Martin Luther King Jr. and all the things like that. See, mainline denominations came to the rescue of the Pentecostal and charismatic black churches, but the charismatic Pentecostal churches of white people didn't come to their rescue and all the things that were happening. And that's a shame. It's a shame. It's a shame. And so this 25-year celebration in 1994, the main leader of that group, he got on his hands and knees, and he invited the black community to come as well. And he got on his hands and knees, and he washed the main leader of the black denomination leader. He washed his feet in front of him with an apology. That how could we have done that? And there was one thing, and I saw this video that they said there was only one stipulation. And the black man said, if I can wash your feet afterwards. So they washed each other's feet. And that was the Memphis Miracle in 1994 in October. And we celebrated the 25th celebration. And if you're not my friend on Facebook, you might want to. I did a few videos, of live videos, where I just showed what we were doing. We singing songs in Espanol, Espíritu Santo Fuego, Gloria a Dios. Amen. We did it in Spanish. We had black churches, black choirs, white churches, white choirs. We had it all, right? There was all kinds of Filipino people. It was amazing. It was heaven, church. It was heaven. It's amazing. In this whole conference, I made instantaneous friends. And the one thing I said was this. So President Farmer, he's the president of PCCNA, who used to be the president of Open Bible before President Randall Bach, who is now the president. He is now the president of PCCNA. And I told this to President Farmer. I said, if there's anything that I took away from this is I'm not alone. No, I'm not alone. Sometimes I'm talking to you Pentecostals, charismatic people. You ever feel like your tongue-talking, fire-on-fire kind of person that just has all this boldness and sometimes you feel alone? You ever feel like that? Let me tell you something. You ain't alone. You are not alone. I witnessed it, and I'm so thankful. I made all kinds of friends in all denominations this week, and it was awesome. Even though I was second to the oldest of all of them, there was 22-year-olds all the way up to, I just turned 37, so I felt like Grandpa Pants in the group, but whatever. It was awesome. They said, at least you don't look like it, and I was like, thank you. I said, drink lots of water. Moisturize every day. No lie, I literally said that. I did. I said that, and I do that. So, But thank God. I just wanted to share that. So I want you to know the heart of this pastor. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what social background you have. I don't care if you're rich. I don't care if you're blue collar, no collar, white collar. I don't care who you are, and neither does Jesus. You are able to worship with us here in this church. Because guess what? If you love Jesus, you're going to worship with me anyway in heaven. Amen? And if there's any prejudice right now in your heart, I don't know how you grew up. I don't know what your daddy and your mommy taught you. But let me tell you, the Bible doesn't teach prejudice. It doesn't teach races. It doesn't teach that. So go into all the world, even Samaria, where there's a mixed group. And guess what? If you're an American, you're mixed. You're a Samaritan. So thank God he said, go into all the world. So I don't know where you came from. Let me tell you, God can clean that out. God can clean that out and let him do it. Amen? Amen. That's my intro. So last week, we prayed for, sorry, I'm sweating like crazy. Praiser size this morning. Last week, God gave us a word on cultivating a life with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Pray for the baptism and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And my Bible doesn't say it stopped. I don't understand that teaching. My Bible doesn't say it's over. My Bible teaches me what the Old Testament prophet said. It said in the last days he's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. We're going to prophesy. We're going to see dreams. We're going to have dreams. We're going to see visions, signs, wonders, and miracles. There are healings happening today. One of my friends that I met, he's a Foursquare, he's not a pastor, but he's a Foursquare minister. And he goes all over the world, and he says, on this phone, he picked up his phone, on this phone, just this last month, I have miracle after miracle all over the world. He says, I lived in Bend, Oregon, where it's a resort community with a bunch of rich white people. Because you hear this all the time. You hear that in America, well, the move of God's just not going to happen in America because of whatever reason. There are some really big blockers for America. There are. There's no question. I think it cripples us in a lot of ways. And I think a lot of things have been preached from the pulpit that cripples us as well. But he said, even in Bend, Oregon, I have my 9-year-old daughter right there, and she's praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost with these people. And we've seen deaf ears open up, blind eyes see. We've seen people walk that have been crippled. I see it every day. He was raised Mormon. He's only been a Christian for 9 years. He was a Mormon to the point where he accepted Jesus, and his brothers tried to kill him. They shot through the window trying to kill him. And he says, when I read my word, in the last 9 years, I don't know anything different other than what this Bible teaches me. And he goes all over the world. He's about 6'3", white guy, real handsome, nice kids. And he goes all over and he says, he doesn't understand Christians that don't see this every day. He says, I see this every day. This is my life. This is all I've ever known since I've accepted Christ. This is normal. I'm here today to tell you this. It's normal. It could be normal. It should be normal. That's what it means to be Spirit-led, Spirit-filled. Amen? So last week we prayed for the baptism of the Holy Ghost for the ones that wanted it, wanted an infilling, wanted a refreshing, ones that wanted to speak with other tongues, prophesy, or see some sort of 9 gifts of the Spirit happen in their life. We had 2 people rededicate their lives to Christ before we did all that. I want to say this about the moving of the Holy Spirit in our church, because I can feel the tension already. I want to say this. Now, mind you, I grew up as a Methodist. We didn't read the book of Acts. And I'm not lying, literally. United Methodist Church of Hillsboro, Oregon, I never read the book of Acts. The moving of the Holy Ghost, we do not have to be afraid of it. But we must have order. Paul taught order. First Church of the Open Bible in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, we will not be a granola church. We will not have the fruits, the flakes, and the nuts running the show. Y'all can clap for that if you want to clap for that. Maybe you've been to one of those churches or one of those church meetings where everybody's flopping around the floor, barking like dogs. How does that even honor God? And then it looks like the pastor's all out of sorts because he doesn't know how to control what's going on. Not here. It ain't going to happen here. Listen, if it doesn't honor God, it honors something else. In revival, there are three spirits. There's the Holy Spirit. That's what we contend for. There's the spirit of man or flesh. And then there's the demonic spirits. How do you know if it's God, church? First, I want to say this. Don't put him in a box. Don't put God in a box. He won't fit. It doesn't matter how big your box is. He will never fit in your box. But how do you know if it's God or not? You know it's God if it honors him. All things of God honors God. It points back to Jesus. All things. If it doesn't point back to Jesus, it's not God. It's not of God. See, God does the mysterious and he does the supernatural. Jay, John, in the back, you got no legs. But God can make those legs grow out. He can. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he can do a miracle. That's not a healing. Those legs don't exist right now. That's a miracle. That defies all the laws of physics. That's a miracle, and I believe it, man. I still believe it. Why not? It happens all over the world all the time. You won't see that on Fox News. You definitely won't see it on CNN. But it happens all over the world. God, he does old and he does new things. His spirit is refreshing. See, packages may seem different in how God presents himself, but the gift is always the same. It's his presence. So don't be scared to move into what God is doing, church. Don't be scared. As your pastor and as your shepherd, you understand what those words mean. One of my main jobs is to protect you. To protect you. One of my main jobs is to also take that staff and poke you. Get to moving. You've been eating there too long. There's no more grass. But one of my main jobs as your pastor and your shepherd is to tell you that I'm going to push for a genuine move of God. But I'm going to push for that without the ridiculous and the out of line, out of chaos. I will, to the best of my ability, try not to quench the Holy Ghost and what he's doing. But we here will quench the spirit of the flesh. We will quench the spirit of the devil. If that ain't of God, we're going to call it out. We will push for more of God and less of man. Because if we don't, church, why are we here? Why are we here? You didn't come just for a Bible lesson today, did you? I hope not. You can get that in your own Bible. Amen? Here at First Open Bible, we will teach more than just Christian intellect. We will teach also Christian behavior. Have you ever wondered what else does Jesus offer me besides salvation? Jesus offers us a life of worship. A life like no other, an adventure which no and nothing can compare. Jesus offers a life led by the Holy Spirit that is transforming at every moment. Every moment, God should transform your mind in that last thought you just had. God, how can I purify that right there? How can I think a little different there? How could I have said that a little different there? How could I have walked a little bit different there? How could I have had more faith in that last thing I just did next time, God? At every moment, he can be transforming us. We just have to worship him, church. Here's the definition of worship. The feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for God. Let me say it again. The feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for God. Or it's a feeling, an expression of reverence and adoration for something else. See, everyone worships something. What do you worship? Who do you worship? Here's one of the biggest gods in all of America. America worships self. This morning, I hope to not take too long preaching. I don't know why I wrote that. Can you cross that off in the back, please? Thank you. No, for real. I just want to talk to you about a few thoughts that God put on my heart about what a true worshiper of God looks like. Because I want us, see, what purpose it is for me just to stand up here and lecture you if there's no application in your life? You walk away unchanged. Good people don't go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven. Saved people do things for Jesus. They're servants of God. We must be transformed at every moment. If we're doing the same thing we've always done, then we're stuck and we're going backwards, and that's not how God does things. God is always moving, and you better get on. Get on the Holy Ghost train, baby. Even if you're not quite ready, get in that caboose. Work your way up. So this morning, I just want to give you a few thoughts on what God gave me this week. And really, Friday night and Saturday, yesterday, as I finished. Did you know? It is not the song that is important to God. We equate worship to instruments, our mouths, and singing together. And even stuff on our phones, computers, or TVs, or whatever, radio. It's not the song that's important to God. See, the song is an expression of the life. Those songs are written better than maybe I can project out of my own intellect in words and write down or say. Those help me say to God what I feel. But what is important to God is the life. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Worship is not something you do, church. It is something that you are. The life of a true worshiper is the same in secret and in public. If you act a fool when you go out of church and put it all together in here, you think God doesn't know? You ain't fooling nobody. The only person you're fooling is yourself. And you're ruining what God could do in your life. There is no difference because what you do in secret and what you do in public, there is no difference because he or she realizes that they are constantly in the presence of the all-seeing and the all-knowing God. A true worshiper is in constant evaluation of himself in light of the scripture too. He is careful with his words and his actions and even his thoughts that are not worthy of God. He is concerned about his friendships, his indulgences, and even is careful with his time and his money. A true worshiper does his job, his responsibilities, and everything in life at every moment he wants to glorify the Father in heaven. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Amen? Some people want to eat in the name of Jesus, right? When Pastor Harris is done, this church is over, I'm going to eat for the glory of God. Did you know what you eat can glorify God or glorify yourself? Are you eating for your flesh or for God? That's something else in America as well. Moving on. Hope you brought steel-toed shoes this morning. Amen. True worship is having delight in the living Word of God and seeing it active in daily life. This Bible that I read and I preach from, I should act with it every day in my life. A worshiper is not just a reader of God's word, but he's also a doer of God's word. Did you know that God wants you to be both Mary and Martha? See, you got to get at his feet, church, so you know how to serve at his table. Ones that read the word know what I just said. True worship is listening to the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit. True worship is spending time with our Father. D.L. Moody said this, quote, "We ought to see the face of God every morning before we see the face of man." End quote. What else is worship? I love this, and I also hate this. Worship is submission. Will you say that, church? Say submission. Say it like you want to say it. Submission. Much better. Submission. That was good. Oh, if you could just see what I saw. By the way, up here, I see everything. So you know. I got a good view. Worship is submission. Submission is a state of total helplessness, an inability to even move or do anything without God. Surrender to Jesus is the beginning of our worship to Him. You got to come and surrender to Jesus. God, I surrender my heart to You. I surrender my life to You. That's different than submission. See, surrender to Jesus is the beginning of our worship to Him, but constant submission to Jesus is our goal. I'm preaching better than your amening this morning. It's real quiet in here. Did I tell you where I just came from the last week? You think it was quiet in there? Man, no. Surrender is the gateway to the pathway of submission. Surrender is an activity that we do on our own power. Surrender. And I do it on my own will. I do it out of my own will, with my own will. But submission puts the ball in the Lord's court. It is when we trust God's will and then we do it. Submission is the mark of a true servant who has no plans of his own other than worshiping his master. John MacArthur said this, quote, "The question in salvation is not whether Jesus is Lord, but whether we are submissive to His Lordship," end quote. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That doesn't matter to you unless He is the Lord of your life and you bow to His Lordship. And if you are to that day when that happens, if you're still alive, if you consider Him Lord or not, you're going to bow anyway. Get a head start, church. Get a head start, okay? Philippians chapter 2, verses 9, 10, and 11 out of the NLT says this. "Therefore God elevated Him to the place of the highest honor and gave Him the name above all other names. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Here's another thought I had on worship. When you worship, you often wait. America's just too much in a hurry. Just too much of in a hurry. Package my church up in an hour so I can get out and feel good about myself. Unfortunately, if that's all you want, that's probably what you do during the week as well. For the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they tarried in a hot room starting with 500 people for almost 10 days before the Spirit came. But when you worship, you often wait. Our worship is usually tested in whether we can wait for God or not. Isaiah 55:8 says this. God is talking, and He says this. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Praise God. "Neither are my ways your ways." Praise God. "Declares the Lord." Sometimes the only way to know if God, the only way to know what God is doing is by waiting. Yes. Even if it's dark, even if times feels like you can't hear Him, even when God says not yet or no, but you will never hear if you don't listen. And listening takes time. Now, I've been married almost 15 years. I can hear what my wife's saying. Now, you need to listen to this too, Bill. Hey, you called it out, man. You said rookie. So we can listen to what our wife is saying, but are you listening to her? We like to tease and joke around in marriage that I'm getting good at tuning her out. Right? Like you haven't heard that, please. Y'all probably said it like this week. But we get real good at tuning out the Holy Ghost too. Because we want to hear and not listen. Because we don't want to wait on what God is saying. Amen? Man, I want to go to a conference every week. Jesus. He waited 30 years before he began his ministry. Waited 30 years. I personally had to wait 7 years from when I was a full-time youth pastor to moving to Iowa to be a full-time youth pastor again. 7 years working in a cubicle, knowing I was called to be behind a pulpit. See, in the wait, God often checks our true motives. And in the wait, God often refines us. Sometimes the wait is harder than the work. But the wait is always necessary for the right work. God's standing at the door knocking, and he doesn't ask you to kick open the window. Amen? But far too often we want to get to work and we don't want to wait for what God is saying. We don't want to listen to what he's saying. Another thought I had is this: true worship leads to death. Praise God. Woo! Amen, right? That's a good word. I love that. Oh, hallelujah. Death to the flesh. But worship also delivers us from death. But here's a big word: only. Revelation talks about this. Only if you worship God and you don't worship the beast. True worship doesn't have safe zones, church. All right, testify, baby. Come on, testify. Woo! He knows. True worship doesn't have safe zones. True worshipers someday will end up in the lion's den or into a fiery furnace. The Apostle Paul, he would preach, right? And he just got done getting beat almost to death. Rocks thrown at him, beat, flogged, whatever they could do to him. Sent to jail, all bruised up, beaten, just totally messed up. What happens? Did he go to his safe zone and go rent a hotel room and get all-you-can-eat breakfast? You know, and, you know, go shopping and do all these things? Did he go with his friends and complain? Did he go do these things that we frequently do? Did he put on Facebook how terrible his life is and how everybody should feel sorry for him? Social media? No. He bandaged it up and he ran to the next group led by the Holy Spirit and preached again and got beat up again. There's no safe zones. When you're led by the Holy Ghost, there's no safe zones when you truly worship God. You're going to find yourself in a fiery furnace in a lion's den. And it might not be a literal lion's den. I hope it's not. Or it won't be a literal fiery furnace. But what it will look like is you're going to have to stand against the rulers and the authorities of these world, of this world. And it's going to be at your workplace. It's going to be at your house. It's going to be in your school. If you go to public school, that is the lion's den. Shut the mouth of the lion. Maybe you're going to have to do it in the circle of your friends. Maybe you're going to have to do it in the voter's box. Independent, Democrat, Republican. No, vote Jesus. Okay? Vote Jesus. As best as you can. I know it's been tough lately. But God never said anything be easy. Or maybe your lion's den or your fiery furnace is social media. Cultivating a life of a true worshiper leads you to make choices, righteous and holy choices. So what is the point of spirit-empowered worship? Well, when times get tough and you hold fast to the name of the Lord until he sends help. We sang a song about that. Send your help. Rescue me, right? Send your help. But spirit-empowered worship, even if help does not come, you will not bow. I will stand where I will kneel in that open window where I kneel every day three times, and I will worship, not that idol over there, but I will worship my God. Church, worship the fourth person in that fiery furnace. John 4:24 says this, "For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." God is spirit. Man is spirit. Worship is a spiritual activity. When we worship, we do something spiritual. It is beyond our realm, the realm of the soul. It is the realm of the spirit. The only way a man connects with God is in worship is through the Holy Spirit. It's man's deepest engagement with God in the highest level of privacy one can have. Starting to wrap up here. True worshipers can answer this question easily. All right, every eye up here, please. You can answer this question easily. Do I love Jesus more than I love my own life? A true worshiper says, every day, with every breath, with every thought, with every word, with all that I do and wherever I go, yes, God, even unto death, I love you more than my own life. You see, the only time you can truly live is when you have something to die for. So how's your worship going? How is your spiritual engagement with God in your daily living? How is your walking in the Spirit lifestyle? I want to read a couple verses, and I want to say one more thing before we watch a video. Worship team, when the video starts, it's about 8 minutes long. Church, and I just encourage you just to worship God during the video. That time you can come up and prepare yourselves, and then we'll just be led by the Spirit, God says. I want to open my Bible here to John chapter 4. I want to read you two verses. Jesus is talking, so I better be listening. And he says this, it's in red, verse 23, chapter 4, in the Gospel of John. Jesus says this, "But the time is coming." Right? And then I love this. It was quick. "Indeed, it is here now." Right? Wait, what? It's here now. Okay. "When true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way." You want to know what your life should look like and what God is looking for? I just said it. He's looking. The Father's looking for those who will worship him with spirit and in truth. You can't worship in the Spirit if you're not full of the Holy Spirit. All those things that you struggle with each and every day and everything that you battle with over and over again, the only reason why is because you're not full of the Holy Ghost. You're full of that. You want to get rid of it? Get more full of God. It'll flush you right out. That's how it works, inside out. That's how the Holy Ghost works, inside out. Clean me from the inside out. Fruits of the Spirit. Verse 24 says, "For God is Spirit, so those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." So at First Open Bible, our theme for March is cultivate, right? We got one more next week. The word cultivate has two main definitions. Cultivate is a verb, which means it's action. God's pleased with Christians that are full of verbs. Amen? Active Christians. Here's one of the definitions. Prepare and use the land for the crops and gardening. Here's number two. Try to acquire or develop a skill. Here's what I'm taking from that. We are to prepare and use while we develop our skills. Now listen to me now. The easiest land to cultivate is one that's already saturated. It's been softened by the rain. It's been softened by the outpouring. If you want God to plant good things in you, then you have to give Him daily some good ground. Ground ready to be worked with. True worship is this. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. How do you soften your hardness? How do you prepare the land? How do you prepare your heart for God to use it? Here's a few. This is what you do. You soften your heart with prayer. You soften your heart with fasting. You soften your heart with repentance. You soften your heart with desperation. You worship God. And this is how you do it. You submit. Too many people stuck at surrender. You submit. In the New Testament, there are various words that are used to refer to the term worship. One of those words is proskuneihu. And it literally means this: to bow down to God or to kings. It's time now, church, to submit, to yield, to bow, and to worship the Lord. We're going to play a song here in just a second. I want to invite you to bow down before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and worship again.
In your presence, I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never wanna leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessing. Jesus, you don't owe me anything, and more than anything that you can do, I just just want you. Oh, I'm sorry that I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry and I just sang another song. Take me back to where we start. I open up my heart to you. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence. I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this hole. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else would do. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else would do.
Nothing else.
Down on my knees.